Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back to hour number two of The Tim Meisberg Show. Paul Santos, happy to be filling in this morning. As we wind down the week, happy Friday. That seems to be a popular phrase that people say to each other now. You go into work or whatever you're up to and people go, happy Friday, because the week is almost over. That's for people that work the regular Monday through Friday shift, because there's a lot of people that obviously have other work hours. But for those who still do the standard Monday through Friday, happy Friday to you. Happy Friday to everybody. As we get closer to the weekend, we get closer and closer to Christmas and the holiday season in general. Hope you are all happy and healthy as we proceed along here in early December. Chilly today, temperature right now at about 29 degrees, going to peak at 34. And then tomorrow, a peak of 37 for that holiday parade and Christmas tree lighting that's going on in downtown New Bedford. Before I introduce the next topic I wanted to throw out there, let's go to the phones and say good morning. You are on WBSM.
What's shaking, fella?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. Kind of constipated this morning, but thanks for asking.
What do they like to say, TMI?
Yeah. Well, hey, the one that started friendship off with a lie, right? You know, that's not a good way to start any kind of friendship is with a lie. So, got to keep 100. I'm calling out. I'm out here from Las Vegas.
Yes, yes. I've heard you call Tim before. How are you, sir?
I'm from Fair to Midland. Mm-hmm. Fair to Midland. You know what that is? Fair to Midland.
Fair to Midland, that's kind of like not fantastic, but not terrible.
No, it's in Texas. Texas is a place, it's fair, it's like 120 miles difference. Fair to Midland.
Fair to that's Midland. Fair to. Now, by the way, yeah. I was talking about how it was under 30 degrees here in Massachusetts. What are we talking about in Vegas right now?
Well, right now, it's like, right now, where it was earlier when I was outside earlier, it was like 50 degrees, if that much.
Really? 50 degrees? Like, that's a little nippy for out there, right?
Yeah, well, it was supposed to get down to like 45 or something like that. But yeah, but we're going to get up to 70 today. Ooh. And so that's not going to be bad, but all next week we're going to be like under 60. No, 63 and under. We're going to be all for like a week or so.
You know, the only time I ever visited Vegas, because I'm not a big gambler, but I thought Vegas was pretty cool, especially, you know, going down the strip and all that. And I'd like to do it again, but we were supposed to go in February, and because it snowed, we couldn't go. So we ended up moving it to, I forget what it was. It was like June or something like that. We went over there, and it was like 105 degrees every day.
How long ago was this?
I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, something like that.
Okay, so you missed the drought. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was even worse, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 250 straight days without any rain in this area at all. And that's the previous record was 150 days straight.
Oh, now let me ask you a question. I know you call Tim all the time, and you're one of the general callers. Now, how did you become friendly with Tim and the folks here in New Bedford?
Well, I know Art Bell, and I used to be at his house and stuff like that. He used to do a show, and I would be on the show, and even a couple times hosted for him when he was busy doing other things.
You're not from here? You're not from New Bedford?
Oh, no.
Oh. Have you ever been here?
No, but I'm planning on coming that direction. I've been up close to there, but not close enough.
How about Boston or New England in general?
I've been up through Boston, but that was when I was going to the Smithsonian.
Oh,
so I had
okay.
to make a, And so I had to make a couple stops there. What I was thinking, I'd like to go back out there, but since there's not much things to look at that out there anymore, except for the beautiful people that are there.
Well, now that, you know, radio is different because obviously we have an online presence and everything else, so people can listen anywhere. I mean, we have people that have transplanted to Florida or Virginia or wherever they are, and they listen to WBSM. So it's nice to have somebody listening in Las Vegas. That's fun.
The warmer parts of the country. So it's like, yeah, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
And it's like, so like I was telling you beforehand.
Well, go ahead. One more point, because I got to go to a break. Okay.
The hottest I've ever seen it here was like 120, 22 degrees.
Oh.
But we were living in Morocco when my father was in the Air Force on the Atlantic coast of Africa, right there on the equator. I remember going out and playing in the shade when it was 143 degrees in the shade.
Oh, my God.
And I was drinking Kool-Aid, went back out and played. And two other times I wanted to go out and play. My mother said, hell no, it's 150 degrees out there. So I played those two other days. Yeah. But I remember 143 very clearly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Continue to listen. I got to go to this break, but thank you very much for calling. That's the caller from Las Vegas. We're always happy to hear from that gentleman. All right. Back in a moment. You're listening to 1420 WBSM and 99.5 FM. We'll be right back. 508-996-0500 if you'd like to give us a call. So of the great Frank Sinatra. I got to tell you, I like modern music. I still listen to Top 40 music, as a matter of fact, listening to our sister station here at Fun 107. I know all of the Top 40 stuff. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Listen to the classics. Listen to Motown. Listen to hard rock. But there's something about Christmas music in the swing style. I just like Christmas music in the swing style for some reason. You know, that jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. You know, and the swing music in the background. Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, you know, that whole shtick. I guess it stuck with me when I was a little kid. I think that's what happened. Before I get to our first caller, I did want to mention real quick just another topic to add into the discussion. I was talking about favorite Christmas present as a kid. So I wanted to hear whether or not you had a particular favorite Christmas present when you grew up and what that might have been. I also wanted to introduce something here because I think there is a fine line between criticizing a public official and harassment. And that happened to come up the other day in court. I just happened to be there. I just happened to be in the building. And I ran into two people who I know fairly well. Ryan Pereira, who was the Ward 6 city councilor, was there. And Carlos Felix, who is a well-known social media person who goes around with a camera and pushes the envelope. And I got to tell you, I appreciate the Carlos Felixes of the world because we need people, whether it's media, social media, whatever it is, to speak truth to power. That's a very important part of our democracy. But then the question is, when does it go too far? Because that may have happened the other day or may have happened a while back. The case was resolved the other day. And what ended up happening was that the case was resolved by what they call a pretrial probation. So it was a criminal harassment charge against videographer and journalist Carlos Felix. And it was Ryan Pereira who was the complaining witness. And police investigated into it, investigated the case, and determined that Felix had repeatedly followed Carlos repeatedly followed Ryan Pereira to his home and drew a circle around his car and this kind of thing. So he started to get nervous a little bit. The criminal harassment charge was brought. It was resolved in pretrial probation. So just to clarify, you know, pretrial probation is actually the best deal you can possibly get because pretrial probation is not a guilty finding. And in fact, it's not even admission of sufficient facts of guilt. There's no admission. There's no anything. It's just, look, stay away from him. Don't do it again. And we'll just straight out dismiss the case. So there's no admission. There's no real plea. It's just almost like a straight continuance. Hey, we'll put the case on down the road 6 months, and then you just don't do it anymore. And then that's the way it was resolved. And I know I happened to run into Ryan. I spoke to Ryan a few minutes. I saw Carlos Felix kind of waved at him from a distance, and I had my own stuff going on in court. But, you know, there is a point where the First Amendment, you know, clashes with someone's ability to be secure and be safe and comfortable. So, like, if I don't like President Biden, I should be able to come on here or go to the corner or go on my social media and rip him to an a-hole if I want to. If I feel that way about President-elect Trump, I should be able to do that too, especially where they're public figures and especially where they are holding public office. Now, a private citizen is a little bit different, but in this case, Mr. Pereira is not a private citizen. So Carlos Felix can complain about him, criticize him and everything else. And I think his motivation was, his allegation was that wasn't really his address. And of course, Ryan Pereira is saying, yeah, of course it's my address. And if you have a challenge to that, you can take it up with the proper channel. So perhaps Mr. Felix could have done that. But I don't want to focus on this particular case too much. I just want to ask, you know, we talk about the cancel culture, which I think went too far. You know, we don't want people blurting out horribly racist, misogynistic, brutal stuff against private people or anything like that. But again, we've probably gone a little overboard that, you know, you blurt something out that you're not supposed to, and all of a sudden you lose your job, you lose your livelihood, you lose your career, all because you, you know, had a bad day or said something stupid that one day. I don't believe in that. I believe in, hey, you did something wrong, you made a mistake, you get a chance to correct it if you agree that you made a mistake in the first place. So cancel culture, no, but, you know, following somebody to their house, you know, that pretty much, I think, follows or could meet the elements of a criminal harassment case in Massachusetts, the statute, and we can get into that a little bit. But give us a call here if you want to talk about this or the whole Christmas present thing. Did you have a favorite Christmas present? I had the walkie-talkies on mine. I had the crazy Rock'em Sock'em robots, and I had the Etch-A-Sketch. You want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about something different? It's up to you. I say good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Paul. It's nice to hear your voice.
Yes, nice to hear from you. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Well, I have quite a couple presents that I really love. First of all, in 1966, I got my first real adult bicycle, a Schwinn Blue, and my brother got a red one, and I love that bicycle. Back in those days, you could play outside all day long. Your parents, you'd come in the house to eat dinner, and then you go out again until the lights came on. So I was all over the place in the summertime with that bicycle. It was just fantastic. We had a place in Westport, Connecticut called Mudville, and all the kids would ride their bikes up and down around the reeds because it was kind of a marshy area, but there were like hilly areas. It was all mud. You come home filthy, dirty, but you had the best time ever. But with that being said, I had two presents I got for Christmas at different years that I loved that were very different, unusual. One was a chemistry type of set to make different perfumes. And I loved that. That was the coolest thing, trying to mix up different perfumes with this chemistry set. And another one was this tumbler to tumble rough rocks that would become smooth and you can make jewelry out of them.
Wow.
So that was another favorite thing of mine that was very different, unusual. Like you said, about in the early 70s, I want to say, because I lived outside of Chicago then. And I remember getting those things. And one more thing, my ice skates. I loved ice skating with a passion. So every time I was out of school, you know, or I came home from school, I was out there skating till I dropped because I was always very physical with sports. And I loved things that were physical. And ice skating, myself and this girl, Peggy, we would just skate till we could skate no further. Well, we had so much fun. And, you know, you learned how to do different moves and jumps and, mm-hmm. and speed skating, all of it. It was just a blast. I loved it.
I know a little bit about skating, not for myself, but both of my kids played hockey. So we spent a lot of time, you know, down at the little lake that they had down the street and, of course, the rink and all that. And they got to be really good ice skaters, so we had to buy all the equipment and all that. But I'm intrigued about some of the stuff that you said because, you know, ice skates, that's something that, you know, it's not a video game. It's not you sit in the house. You actually have to physically do something. And then mentioned the Schwinn bike. Wasn't the Schwinn bike the most popular bike? Everybody had a Schwinn. In fact, we used to get it at yesteryear at Hathaway Road,
It was so well made. Yeah. It was fantastic because I had a bike. My next bike in the 70s was a banana seat and all, and the flowers.
A lot of banana seat,
the
yeah.
The flowers. Yeah, and that wasn't nearly as nice, to tell you the truth, as my Schwinn. Mm-hmm. My Schwinn was far better put together. It was just a better, you know, it was good. It was a great bike.
Now, tell me a little bit more about this chemistry set, because is that anything like the Easy Bake Oven?
Oh, I had one of those, and I had an Etch-A-Sketch, too. I love to draw, so I got quite good on Etch-A-Sketch. It's just, you had all kinds of bottles with different things, different kinds of elements, scents and, alcohol and things, you could just mix things. There was, of course, directions, so you weren't totally lost in this whole thing.
I got to ask my wife about that one. I don't think I ever heard of that one.
Oh, I love that, because I always liked perfume since I was real small. My mother said I was supposed to be taking a nap when I was 2 years old. Of course, I was there too long. She said, something's going on. Well, I was a climber, of course, very physical. I climbed up the knobs of the bureau, grabbed her Chanel No. 5 perfume that she bought in Paris when she was, I think, in college. They went on a trip abroad. And I spilled the whole thing all over the rug, and it smelled like Chanel for, like, 50 million years. I was painting my face with the polish and then the headboard and the windowsill and everything else. Yeah, I was a little hellion when I was...
Wow. Now, you remember the TV shows like the Andy Williams and the... Dean Martin's.
Yes, my favorite was the Dean Martin Christmas specials. I love Dean Martin, and I love his Marshmallow World, that Christmas song. I love that. I'm with you. I like all the classics when it comes to Christmas.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
Oh, I love Dean Martin. I think he's the greatest. As a matter of fact, my grandparents, they would come to the house, you know, for the holidays, wherever we lived, whether it was Connecticut or Illinois or Massachusetts, wherever, they would come, Florida. And we played cards. That was a big thing. We all played cards. You know, but now you don't hear of any of that.
No, it seems like people are more distant now, more isolated.
Yeah, we all played cards. There are a few games that are still around, though. I saw advertised at Ollie's Trouble, the game Trouble. Of course, Monopoly is still around.
Oh, Trouble. And, I used to play Trouble,
Me too. And my mother hated it. She ended up throwing it out. My mother threw away everything. That's how she was. She didn't like something, out the door it went. Whether you wanted it or not, it was gone.
Yeah.
But, that was a game we played a lot. It was a lot of things, but that's still around.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a few other ones. Candyland, that the small kids played. That's around still.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a few, but you're right. Everything has changed. And I remember those Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I remember the commercial for that.
I'm glad.
The commercial right now as I'm sitting here.
Oh, I feel better now. Remember when you hit the robot in the head and the other one went bzzz and the head popped up?
Yes, exactly. I remember seeing those. Well, you must be around the age I am.
Yes,
so.
I am. All right. Well, thank you very much. Nice to hear from you as usual.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day now.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. We're talking about some of the presents that you may have received over the years, especially as a kid. I mean, this caller right here, she had a lot of great stuff. Ice skates. Wow, that's a good one. The Schwinn bike. Wow, that was really popular. And she's right. You would get on your Schwinn bike, and all the kids in the neighborhood had bikes. And most of them had Schwinn bikes because those were the best bikes. And I mentioned walkie-talkies. We would get on a walkie-talkie, get on the Schwinn bike, patrol the neighborhood pretending we were police officers or whatever. And we'd be riding around and like, hey, what's going on over here? And then everybody go over there. And we had a blast with those walkie-talkies. And this lady right here, a chemistry perfume set. I don't remember that one. I remember my cousins having the Easy Bake Oven. And I think my wife said she had an Easy Bake Oven, but she said her mother wouldn't let her cook on the thing because she thought something might go wrong. So I guess it was an Easy Bake Oven that just kind of sat there. I don't know. And you'll notice, too, that presents were geared towards one sex or the other. So the girls got the Easy Bake Oven. I guess if you were a boy or a girl, you could get the ice skates. If you were a boy or a girl, you get the bike. Although the bike was different. The men's bike had the bar going across from the handlebars to the seat. And the girls' bikes did not have that. So you could tell like a boy's bike from a girl's bike back then. I don't know if that's any different now. But the other thing, too, is the presents that survived. The Etch-a-Sketch that Carla said, that's definitely survives. Candyland, that's right. Because I played that with my kids, and now my grandkids have come along, and I see that they're still playing Candyland. So there are a lot of presents that, you know, survived from time past to now. All right, we're up against news. When we come back, we'll talk more about your favorite Christmas presents. If you have one, you'd like to chime in. I wanted to talk a little bit about the First Amendment and when is the line crossed, like may have happened here locally, and the fact that they're going to open up, possibly, it's in debate right now in the Massachusetts State Legislature, are we going to actually have pot cafes? That's right, marijuana cafes. You go in, I guess you hang out, you smoke some weed. But if you do that, is the cafe going to have food in there? And if you have food in the cafe, and they make an exception for that, I can hear it already. There's going to be another restaurant that's going to say, well, wait a minute, I want to have a restaurant where they're smoking. And shouldn't the person in public be able to decide, well, I want to go to the restaurant that has smoking and the other person wants to go to the restaurant where there's no smoking? So why can't we have the smoking restaurant, you know, which would basically take away or make a slight adjustment to the regulations that were passed and the law passed many years ago that prohibited smoking in any restaurant for health reasons, which, you know, in retrospect, man, I would go to a restaurant, I would go to the Boston Garden, I would go to Fenway Park, and there would just be this hover of smoke just hanging in the air. So I think when we prohibited it in those public buildings, I think it was a good thing. So what happens now with the marijuana, that smoke inside a building? You're going to have to make an exception for that. And if you make an exception for one, you got to make an exception for another, don't you? 508-996-0500. Back after the news.
The Matt Gaetz Ethics Report, still under wraps. A heated exchange on Capitol Hill. And what has the power to take down Wicked at the box office?
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The House has voted against releasing an ethics committee report from its investigation of former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Gaetz was being investigated over allegations of sexual misconduct and drug use, among other things. He resigned last month after President-elect Trump selected him for Attorney General, but Gaetz later withdrew his name after it became clear he was unlikely to be confirmed. New York City police releasing more surveillance photos of the suspect accused of shooting and killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson outside a hotel this week. The images are much clearer than previous surveillance photos and show most of the suspect's face. Mayor Eric Adams said investigators were moving at a good pace and that he expected an arrest. Pete Hegseth, President-elect Donald Trump's embattled pick for defense secretary, vowing to stay in the running despite multiple misconduct allegations. He met with lawmakers on Capitol Hill once again on Wednesday. His mother also tried to make the case for his fitness for the position, sitting down for an interview on Fox News, where Hegseth was previously a weekend host. Some heated moments on Capitol Hill Thursday. During a hearing looking into the Trump assassination attempts, an exchange between Texas Republican Congressman Pat Fallon and acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe erupted into a screaming match. Fallon ripped into the agency's failures, showing a photo of Trump's visit to New York marking the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. There were no Secret Service agents at his side, but the acting director was in the frame. There was the suggestion that he was grandstanding. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the new Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, is based on common sense. Speaking before a meeting with DOGE leaders Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, Johnson said government's too big, it does too many things, and it does almost nothing well. He said there's an enormous amount of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government, and that DOGE will investigate that and lay it bare for the American people to see. And Moana 2 is expected to take first at the box office this weekend. The animated sequel is expected to bring in around $60 million in its second outing. Meanwhile, Wicked set to make near $32 million, while Gladiator 2 projected to make over $15 million, both in their third weekends.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics host the Milwaukee Bucks at TD Garden tonight at 7:30. Boston Bruins host the Philadelphia Flyers Saturday at 1. Patriots return December 15th to play the Arizona Cardinals.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's going to be a cold day. It's going to be a windy day, bitterly cold even. So bundle up if you're headed outside. High temperatures only getting into the low to mid-30s here on the South Coast, but with that wind, it'll feel more like the 20s. The weekend, we begin a gradual warm-up, but not by much. A mix of sun and clouds on tap for Saturday. Temperatures still in the 30s. On Sunday, we hit the 40s. Chance for a quick snow shower, but that's in and out if it happens. Mostly sun and clouds. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
outside is frightful, but the fire, it's so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
That's going out to that caller that called a little while ago. She always calls when I'm on, always has kind things to say. I'm always happy to hear from her. And we were joking around about the holiday specials they used to have when we were growing up, right? Dean Martin had a Christmas show every year. Of course, he had a very popular variety show, and he was so smooth. And, you know, you can tell as he's singing how much fun he's having singing. I've never seen anybody have as much fun singing as the classic Dean Martin. And, of course, he went into the Dean Martin roasts, and then it kind of went on from there. But he was a great entertainer. And, you know, that version right there of Let It Snow, a fun one. I told you before, for some reason, and I listen to all kinds of music. I listen to rock. I listen to funk. I was a DJ in the nightclubs. I still listen to Top 40 music. I listen to Fun 107 and WBSM. So I'm up to date. I think I'm up to date on Top 40 music. But there's something about Christmas music in that swing style that, I don't know, it's probably because that's what I grew up with. So that's kind of what I like to hear during the holiday season. Well, welcome in. We have a sunny day today, but the temperature is only going to be in the low 30s. Tomorrow up to about 37 for the parade and Christmas tree lighting, which starts at 5, culminates at 6 o'clock in front of City Hall, or actually in front of the library, which is right next to City Hall in downtown New Bedford. And then after that, I'm sorry to say, from what I can see, it looks like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it gets a little rainy. So how come is it that when we go through a period of time when the weather is actually nice, like in the fall, it's like, we're going to have the rain, we need the rain. Well, yeah, I know, we need the rain, but we'll get the rain eventually. It's nice to have the fall that we had when it hardly rained. So I just assume not have the rain, right? Just go through the fall and not have the rain, and then eventually we will have an outpouring of rain, which sounds like we might have some this week. Well, give me a call if you'd like to join the discussion, 508-996-0500. It's talking about favorite Christmas presents. So far in the list, we have walkie-talkies, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. We have the Etch-a-Sketch, the Schwinn Bicycle. We've got this chemistry perfume set that previous caller talked about. Easy Bake Oven, ice skates. Let's see, what else we have here? Oh, I have one. I have one that I'm going to tell you about in a few minutes that you are going to laugh at, okay? That's another one, another funny one, kind of like the Rock'em Sock'em Robots or the walkie-talkies. But I did want to mention this line about the First Amendment when you criticize someone who was in the public eye. So I just happened to be in court the other day, and a criminal harassment charge brought against videographer and journalist Carlos Felix was resolved with a 6-month pretrial probation. That charge had been brought on behalf of City Councilor Ryan Pereira following a police investigation into his allegation that Felix had repeatedly followed him as he drove home from City Hall after meetings. This according to an article in the Standard Times. Pereira said that was coupled with Felix sending him Facebook messages that included a photo of his car in his driveway with a circle on it, circle on the license plate saying Ryan's car. Also sent messages to Pereira allegedly telling him that he was going to end his career. And basically Ryan Pereira said, well, wait a minute, I'm done with this. I don't think that criticism is something that is on the right side of the line. He felt that he crossed the line. So originally there was a clerk magistrate hearing. Probable cause was found when Mr. Felix didn't show up at the probable cause hearing, according to the Standard Times article, and then it was agreed to 6-month pretrial probation. Now the charge does carry a jail sentence up to 2.5 years. Mr. Pereira said, hey, I don't want anybody to go to jail over it. I just don't want him to do this anymore. So Mr. Felix has to stay away from Mr. Pereira's home for this period of time during the pretrial probation period, and then at the end of that date, the case gets dismissed. The difference between this and like a guilty finding and probation is that in a pretrial probation, there is no guilty finding, and in fact, there isn't even an admission of guilt. Now, they have a disposition which is called a continuance without a finding. That's when you admit that there's enough for a guilty, but the judge doesn't impose the guilty. But you still admit that there is enough for the guilty. And the pretrial probation is not even that. So it was a very, you know, lenient way to go about it. And I think it was a good way. Mr. Pereira indicated that he feels that, you know, the thing should not be blown out of proportion, but just stay away from my private home. I'm available at City Hall. You can yell at me there, says Pereira in the newspaper article. I go to press conferences for the city. Yell at me there. There's plenty of availability. Cell phone number is public and it's online. You can call and yell at me there. Just don't show up at your house. Now, according to the criminal harassment statute, it's defined in Mass General Laws, Chapter 265, Section 43A. There's a number of prongs that have to be met. First of all, the defendant must engage in a pattern of conduct or a series of acts that are directed at a specific person. The defendant must act willfully and maliciously, so have the what they call criminal intent in the law. The defendant's actions must seriously alarm the victim and cause a reasonable person to suffer substantial emotional distress. And the defendant must engage in a pattern of conduct that includes at least three incidents of harassment. So somebody comes to my house three times. Somebody, you know, reaches out to me in social media, says things they're not supposed to three times. And the standard is, like, if you're a juror on the case or you're a judge on the case, you have to make a determination beyond a reasonable doubt whether the complaining witness was reasonably suffering alarm and emotional distress. And it's the what they call, they used to call this in law school, and it's in the law, the reasonable person test. So I'm sitting on the jury, and I look at the evidence, and I decide, would the reasonable person feel emotional distress? Would the reasonable person feel nervous and upset at somebody coming to their house in that way? Now, again, I want to make it clear, whether it's Mr. Felix or anybody, I believe that we must have people out there who speak truth to power. And whether you like Mr. Felix or not, he does that. And that's a very important role in our democracy. And I think Ryan would agree with me on that. But there's a line that really shouldn't be crossed. And I think Mr. Pereira makes a good point. Yell at me at City Hall. Yell at me at all these other places. But, you know, at your home, I think it's a little bit different. So I tend to agree with Mr. Pereira on this. But again, I make it clear that, you know, people out there speaking truth to power is a very important thing to have in our democracy. Hey, if you're on the phone, hang on. I got a couple of breaks that I have to go to, and then we'll get back to our phones. 508-996-0500. Paul Santos filling in for Tim here at WBSM. Maybe that's the best present of all, right? Someone to call your own, Mariah Carey, and All I Want for Christmas Is You. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg this morning here at WBSM, and we say good morning. You are on the radio.
Good morning. My ears are ringing, so I figured I'd call in.
How are you?
Good, good. So I just want to make a few things clear and make sure that the audience understands what happened the other day in court. And,
is this Carlos?
Yes, this is Carlos.
Oh, okay.
Felix,
you know, all right. So go ahead. I've known you for a long time, and I just happened to be in the building. I popped my head, and I'm like, that case is on today. But I don't want to really litigate it on the radio. But
no.
You know, I mean,
I just wanted to make sure because Ryan is really good at making himself be the victim. So I just want to make sure people understand. I've never spoke to Ryan outside of City Hall. I've never seen him outside of City Hall. In fact, I never even seen him outside of his house. And second of all, the reason why I was on the street that the address where I was outside, that he says I was outside, isn't his legal address.
Right. It's, so he contends that if you want to challenge that, there's other avenues that you could do so.
Well, he's already admitted it on a police report.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can go get that police report. He's admitted that it's not as
Well, let me ask you this, right? Because I do believe in speaking truth to power. I do believe in the First Amendment. I do believe that public officials should be criticized. But, you know, you agree that, and you're saying you didn't do it. Okay, if you didn't do it, that's great. But you agree that, you know, probably, you know, bothering someone in their private life or home would probably be something that's not advisable,
no, my
correct?
My parents brought me up with respect. Right. I've never yelled outside of no one's home.
All right.
I'm not going to yell outside. That he said that to make himself the poor thing.
All
He's
right.
trying to make himself up. Listen, let me speak because, you know, you guys can't paint a picture and then not allow me to speak.
Well, okay? I gave both sides. But go ahead. I want to make it quick because I want
people to know the facts. If you read the police report, mm-hmm. there was never any statement of me yelling outside of anything.
No, I think it was the allegation was you took a picture outside his home or something.
Yeah. That's the thing. No, sir. And I can show you the evidence.
So you deny it? That's okay.
Let me speak?
Yes, go ahead.
The picture was sent to me by his neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
His neighbors are the ones that contacted me, telling me that he is lying about his address.
All right, so you reposted it. Is that what it is? You reposted that picture?
I, as a journalist, I sent it to him. I said, is this your address?
Mm-hmm.
Where is your real address? As an elected official, you put your line, signing a statement saying that you're saying the truth, that you live in this address, and he's refusing to answer. But on the police report, he admitted where he lives, and it's not where he says he lives on his election papers. He is lying to the public, 100%. And that's what he didn't like. That's why he called the police and cried to them. And then he has the nerve to go inside the court and say that the police blew it out of proportion, and he put them in a bad light, when meanwhile he was crying to them, lying to them to get charges on me. And then when the heat was turned up in court, he told them, I don't want I don't want nothing to do with it. They blew it up out of proportion. No, Ryan, crying Ryan, you blew it up out of proportion.
Well,
and you can't lie to the people. You might try to, but at the end of the day, the truth is going to come out. I did not say I was guilty. I didn't. There was no admittance of guilt.
I mentioned that. I explained to the folks what a pretrial probation is. You know,
the reason
there's no
why I did this thing is because I have a family. And I have to think of them first, and I don't have a bunch of money, unfortunately, to spend just to make a point. I'm not rich. Only the rich get justice, okay?
All right. I got to let you go. I have to go to a break. I think I gave you a pretty good amount of time.
One last point, I'll go. And I have nothing to do with
you. You got about 10 seconds.
Okay. The judge was related to his lawyer, and Ryan's family was the prosecutor. So what chance did I have?
Well,
have
okay.
a good one.
All right, thank you. All right. He has a right to say what he wants to say. Obviously, the member of the city council has a right to respond as well. And again, I make it clear, having people out there who criticize public officials, we need that. We should have that. Obviously, when you're a public official, you have to tolerate more in terms of criticism because you're a public official. If you're a private citizen and somebody says something that's false, if they know that it's false, then it can be slandered. Now, Mr. Felix stands by his position, which I understand, but, you know, it's a fine line in the First Amendment because, you know, the First Amendment allows you to say what you want to say, but then there is a line that shouldn't be crossed, and Mr. Felix, it just indicated that he agrees that he shouldn't cross that line. So it sounds like the thing was resolved in a proper fashion the way I see it. But anyway, back with more on WBSM. At least one light subject. Because, you know, arguing all day is not fun. I know people that like to do that, but I like to mix it up. Have a little bit of an argument about something, but also mix in something fun. What was your favorite Christmas present that you ever got? We've got ice skates. We've got Etch-a-Sketch. We've got walkie-talkies. We've got bicycles, Schwinn bicycles. We got all kinds of stuff going on here that people have called about. What about you? What was your favorite Christmas present? And what about the TV shows? Did you watch any of those TV shows?